Okay, I've got 9:14 a.m. We'll call this special meeting of the Quail County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. Apologize for the delay in getting this meeting started. We're trying to get off some final sheets printed to be able to be distributed. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. For those of you participating by Zoom, we'd ask that you place your device on mute till such time that you would need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We also come before you asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we're always thankful for the many blessings that you continue to bestow upon us. And we ask that you watch over and guide and protect our first responders, our military, and our services here and abroad that protect us on earth as you watch over us from heaven. Lord, as always, we ask for your hand of guidance and wisdom on this court. So we may do here on earth what honors you in heaven. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone that's participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to the July 28th agenda, which is the FY 2026 Budget Development Workshop. Mr. Crothers, I'm going to throw you under the bus right away, if you don't mind. He has provided, I believe, our tax calculation worksheet, and so I'm going to let him talk through that real quick.
So that cover sheet there is the summary of the calculations. There's no new revenue rate for 25, that's 1.43739. And then the voter approval rate of 0.53021 and the debt rate of 0.0419. That's basically the numbers, you know, the important numbers. There are 10 pages of calculations there. I mean, I'd be glad to answer questions. Any of those, I won't go into the weeds on those calculations. You know, rates or values are slightly higher. That's why the no new revenue rate is slightly lower than the current rate. And that happens every year. Values go up, rates go down. So that 0.43739 would raise the same amount of money that you raised last year. And the voter approval rate is the 3.5%. That you're allowed by state law plus the unused increment rate from previous years gets you to 0.53021. So you could adopt the rate of 0.53021 without an election. Any number in between those. You went over that by any number, then there'd be an automatic election to approve that rate. If you look on page 8. So down there, quarter page down, an unused increment rate worksheet. So basically, we calculate every year a no new revenue rate, and then we calculate a voter approval rate, and then we calculate the unused increment rate and add that rate to the voter approval rate to get your calculated voter approval rate. So you can look at it like the no new revenue rate plus 3.5% basically is your voter approval rate. And then you add the unused increment. So any amount that you, between the no new revenue rate and the voter approval rate that you don't adopt, so you get to bank those pennies basically for the past 3 years. So you can see that line 63, 64, and 65 are the past 3 years. So last year that came to zero. You used all those pennies. In the previous 2 years, it's about, well, it's 5.7 pennies. So next year, if we'll be in, I mean, depending on what you do this year, you're going to lose that line 65. So if you don't, it's basically 3 pennies. If you don't add those 3 pennies to your no new revenue rate this year, they're going to go away. So you're, let's say we adopted the amount, not this voter approval rate, but the voter approval rate without these 6 pennies, then you wouldn't have any pennies. So you're going to be down to 3 pennies. So next year, you'll have less cushion, if that makes sense.
Right.
So those just come every 3 years, and then they drop, you know, they continue to drop off.
Thank you.
So I just wanted you to be aware that those 3 pennies will be gone if you don't use them. So basically, it's the legislature's way of saying you get 3.5%, and then if you don't use any of the 3.5%, you can keep it. You kind of roll it together to use. If that makes sense. But those are the numbers, and then that cover sheet there shows the taxable value for the last 3 years, and you can see the, you know, the slight increase there year over year, which is about average for the last 5 years, the increase.
I don't know that you can explain this, because in my conversations with you, it seems like the comptroller's office adjusts this little worksheet just about every year. So I would think, based off of our tax rate increase of last year, it would start with our last used increments that we banked. And so it would have pulled from 21, 22, 23. But yet here it looks like we pulled from 24.
Yes,
and
sir.
Not from 23 and not from 22. So when 22 drops off, we'll have whatever we have this year, zero from 24 and some from 23.
So it's prior, unused increment rate is the prior 3 years. So when 21 wouldn't be.
No, I get that 21 wouldn't be, but for the calculations of this year, so 24, we didn't bank anything. Is correct? But yet we still have increments left over from 23 and 22.
Correct.
So they didn't start at our, we didn't start at the furthest year out.
Well, this is 25, the 25 calculation year.
I get it now. So we didn't bank anything last year. That's what it amounts to. It's not that they charged anything against us. It's just, we didn't bank anything.
You
okay.
Just get zero. So if you look at line, that is your calculated voter approval rate, 47 cents. So basically, that's 3.5%.
Yeah.
And then we add to that the unused increments from prior years to get to the 53.
To get to the 53.
So if you were to use I mean, so basically, anything you adopt less than 47, you bank for next year.
For next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you will lose 22 no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And that's about 3 pennies. It's calculated based on current year value, so it changes just a little bit. We used to calculate it in pennies, now we calculate it in dollars and then turn it back into pennies. So, and they tried this session to do away with this, and they are still in session, so who the hell knows, but they tried to do away with this owner's increment rate this session, and that bill didn't make it. So there is an effort out there to take that away from them. Whether that ever happens, who knows.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Carruthers concerning our tax rate worksheet?
None. I don't know if you can calculate it. You know, every year, you know, in our budget, we put this covered up. And one of them is this property tax revenue to be raised from new property added to the tax roll this year is $472,998 last year. Do we know what that number is?
It would be really close to that. So the new revenue is $91 million. So we're depending on the rate you adopt, you know, that would be multiplied times the 91.
Right.
So it would be, what would the 470, is that what you said?
472, yeah.
It would be close to that. Be in the 400s.
It's a thought when they're calculating. I didn't do it this year. One year I went through it completely and tried to understand every single one of the pages. And it's a silly thing. This is just so I kind of know. Don't they, so we calculate there's an increase in current property values, right?
Right.
And then there's new properties. The new properties don't count against us in the current in that year. Is that correct?
Well,
kind of, sort of.
We don't count those in calculations.
Okay.
So $91 million, we take that all of the current taxable value to calculate what your rate is, your effective rate, or no revenue rate.
Right.
So it's.
But we gain an increase because then those are added.
So that rate would be slightly higher.
Right.
Because you're lowering the value, the taxable value.
Okay. Kind of, sort of.
So you get that extra in your rate.
Like all of us have said, they always try to make it more difficult than it has to be.
This is called truth in taxation.
Yeah.
This form is ever evolving.
So when anybody asks me, I'll just go, here. Yes. This will pay you everything you needed.
Well, now it's part of our budget. So, or will be. It'll be there for everyone to see.
Nope. Okay.
And it's on our website.
Thank you, sir.
And just as a quick reference, lines 23 and 24 on this worksheet identify the new personal and new improvements properties. That's the 91 million 538,144.
I knew it was in there somewhere.
And so, in essence, what he's saying is the value that you're asking for really is dependent upon our tax rate that we adopt.
Right.
If we adopt a higher tax rate, it'll reflect more revenues. If we adopt a lower tax rate, it will reflect a lower amount. So, but the
400,000,
but
40 something cents, it's going to be 400 something thousand.
Yeah,
would be the amount.
But overall, through the,
it's going to be about 460.
Yeah.
The but overall, the subdivisions, divisions of property, new buildings being constructed,
new businesses,
new businesses, That is what generates the 91 million,
right?
91.5 million figure. Okay.
And we do get, you know, our minds, 31, 34, 35, 36. We do get a very small fraction of pennies added back to that rate for increases in those things. The criminal justice, the indigent health, and the indigent defense, which that was new, you know, in 2021, I think, where we get to add those fractions back. So you can kind of keep some of that. The increase of those expenditures year over year.
And this worksheet does not account for our lost revenues from disabled veterans tax exemptions. Is that correct?
Well, no. I mean, no. I mean, that's taken off the value. So, no.
Okay.
There's no computation for exemption loss.
Okay. So on our statement that we have to make in publishing the proposed tax rate, as well as the very first cover sheet, can we do our calculation? Can we add to that verbiage? Are we limited? And the reason I say that is I think it would be good transparency to be able to say, based off of our tax rate in disabled veterans tax exemptions, this is the amount of revenue that we are not receiving.
Yeah, that'd be a legal question now. I mean, I know what's required, and whether you can add some other verbiage that, I don't know, I wouldn't want to answer that.
Okay.
I mean, I know what you have to say, so I would say that has to be in there, you know, those things that are on there now, but as far as adding, you know, and want to answer that.
Okay.
I don't know, because I don't know.
No, that's fair enough. That's right. Okay. One more time. Any questions for Mr. Carruthers?
Good.
Okay. Mr. Carruthers, thank you. Appreciate the good work that you always do.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I believe based off of Mr. Carruthers' good work, Mr. Wood has done some additional good work and updated. Did you give them updated
copies? No, sir, I did not.
I'm going to take just a brief second.
Did not make additional copies. No, maybe at least this.
Well, it's the version that uses the current tax rate, sir, and I believe it includes the new effective rate for the new rate. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Wood, you want to talk us through the latest and greatest?
Sure. The last one that you guys received was imputed on the voter approval rate through the budget workshops that I've attended. It seems that the court is looking to use the current tax rate. That's kind of what I picked up on.
Right.
So anyways, this is our calculation based on the current rate. Then, of course, the estimated effective rate, which I probably needed to change that nomenclature to the revenue rate. That number is changed slightly. Also, after going through the budget, putting in some fund balances and projecting what those ending fund balances would be on 9/30/2025, I have augmented the different funds that those taxes support. I don't know how far off in the weeds y'all want to get, but if you look at Fund 70, which is our capital improvement fund, we're lined up with a pretty decent fund balance. Without putting any taxes in there, it looks like we're going to wind up around 584,204 for the fund balance this year. I don't know if y'all have any projects y'all are wanting to fund out of that next year, anything. So I just took all of that and moved it around as necessary, with 29 cents going into the general fund, 9.9 cents going to road and bridge, and then of course we have our debt rate and our volunteer fire department funds, 7.5. So of course we can move those numbers around before it sees fit.
All right, so where we stand with these calculations and plugged into the spreadsheets that I handed out to you this morning, I'll highlight two key things. Based off of last Friday's budget workshop and some concessions made by Road and Bridge and the Sheriff's Department, jail, those were really big ticket items. Adopting the current tax rate of 44824 gives the general fund a reserve balance of 5.889%, and an overall budget reserve of 12.262%. And so what I'd like to do is, start off by going through revenues and then go through some highlighted changes that we can focus in on those, and then discussions on how you want to proceed with reducing any of our expenditures. And I think there are some areas that we can, and I'll talk through those if that sounds like a plan to everyone.
Sounds good.
Okay. So the very first page in your handout there, the spreadsheets that we've given you, is the first page of revenues coming in. And the $13,562,713.29, that is a proposed or a calculated rate of 44824 times applied to the taxable value of our properties. And so that's where that calculation comes from. That's basically taxes to the people.
Perfect.
Yes. Yeah, general revenue.
Perfect.
Okay.
Is that
general revenue fund taxes?
Yes, sir.
Does that make okay? We do have some tax abatements in place, primarily with Five Hills, and I am pushing back. There's one again with SpaceX, but SpaceX has not provided the information that supports the original agreement. Within their agreement, they're supposed to have a certain number of employees at certain salary rates that they're supposed to demonstrate that they've got those that are residents of Coryell County. That's one of their criteria. And I have responded to them and requested that information, but those are the only two real, you know, tax abatements that we have of any substance. So, and then
you have an estimate of what that impact might be. The abatement, basically.
I do, and I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's. I think it's a little more than what Cove Terrace is, but or Five Hills. But so that's sales tax revenues. We're very close to that projection for this year, and we're not going to go over so much that I think it needs to be increased. And of course, as you all know, it's the state's intent that sales tax or a form of property tax relief to our taxpayers. So continue to buy locally. Fees of office. I did increase the fees from the county clerk's office. She's adopted electronic filing in many cases. There's a little residual amount that goes with that. And I think the biggest one that really isn't reflected in last year's up to this point is the electronic and statewide birth certificates. So I think that there will be an increase in those revenues based off of what she's implemented. The other lines there on those revenues stay pretty consistent based off of the revenues collected for 9 months, as well as what's projected. And you can look down the rest of that and the other one, is going to be the interest earned. We have been utilizing a sweep account, but based off of a decrease in our reserve balance, we just don't have as much money in the bank to draw interest on. And so that is a projected number to be a decrease of about $200,000. Elections reimbursement. Mr. Crothers, we should have some reimbursement this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we're going to go back to the old way that we just offset.
It was a suggestion by our that our outside auditors that we recognize revenues. And I understand why. I mean, never did it in our day. suggested it because it's a pain. So we're just going to take those reimbursements received from elections and apply those to expenses this year. It'll wash that out.
Okay. All right. I had a question about that, and I highlighted that one. So we will remove that. We will zero that particular line out. And then for indigent health care, there's a slight decrease on the reimbursement side of things. We did not renew our agreement with Hamilton County this past year. The revenue we received from it is $7,000, but I think we probably spend more of our indigent health people's time managing that for Hamilton County. So it's not my intent to either bill them nor support them in. And so, you know, there is one precinct, and why it's set up this way, I have no idea. There's one precinct in Hamilton County that does not do indigent health through the rest of the county. And I have no idea why.
Hospital district.
Is that?
They elected not to be in the hospital district one of the forms.
So, so I don't think it's our responsibility to, support them. I don't think it's a huge thing, but I'd like to just make a clean break from that. And so that's where you see a slight reduction there based off of what we're being reimbursed versus loss of the Hamilton County portion of that. Okay. Indigent Defense Grant, a very slight reduction in that based off of just trend analysis. And then the others are pretty much consistent with what they've been previously. Questions on revenues? Okay. Going through the general fund.
Sorry, I'm processing because I just got an email too. So if negotiations, go well with Curative, they have said we're going to get a $30,000 transfer fee. Where would we put that in the budget? Would that go as revenue?
I believe that goes as unrecognized revenues once we receive it, because we don't have a contract.
Yep. Let's put it in miscellaneous.
Okay. I just want to make sure because the good news I just got was I negotiated on Friday and they've increased their transfer fee from $30,000 to $80,000. So if everybody's good, I'm going to present that to Brandon and tell him to move forward with, the final, and they sent the final contract over and copied Brandon, so he should be on it.
Good work.
Thank you.
You would do that miscellaneous under other revenue.
Yeah, that was so good. I got our reimbursement.
Okay, we've won. I got you. Gotcha. Thanks, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, that is a good one. Thank you. Anything else on revenues? Okay, from our last budget workshop, there was no change to the county judge's budget as what it was presented. nor the Commissioner's Court what was presented.
In y'all's spare time, I noticed on, you know, some, and I'm not, it's just the very first one, sometimes in that kind of disappearing column, we have step, sometimes we don't. It sure is helpful to kind of see when it is actually a step. Does that make sense? So for Ms. Roebuck, I see it out to the right-hand side, but in some of these, oh, put it on this one. I'm trying to get a handle. This goes back to, I've asked the question from the very beginning. How much is our debt obligation this year on stack raises? What's, and under, also understanding, right, step raises don't kick in until the anniversary of their date.
That's correct.
So if we, yeah, so I just kind of wonder what the dollar value of that total step raise increase for, you know, this year would be. It seems like it would be fairly easy to do, but probably not in our system.
It is, well, I mean, for me, it would be a very tedious process. It is
right.
Doable.
I'm not saying do it because I ask. When I sit here and I go, okay, what are we increasing, you know, this year? Obviously, we're having an increase in insurance costs. We're having an increase in, you know, in step raises. We do not, at this point, have any say-so or control of it. We've committed to those. And it would be nice to know what's actually committed. This is very hard. I kind of went through and then I will say, I think, you know, I found a couple of increases in, you know, the salary side that wasn't explained as a step or anything else. So without, you know, again, going through this with a fine-tooth comb, would think that we would. Is there a list generated at the beginning of the year, Judge, that's given to you that says, here's all the employees that are eligible for step raises?
No.
No.
I believe the auditor works with the treasurer.
Okay.
And gets an overall list. This year, as part of our individual meetings, what we were trying to do was have the department heads identify which of their employees would do that, so we didn't have to scrub 220 something names.
Right.
It would, you know, because it's one of it should be one of their responsibilities to provide that information. I would say maybe a third of them provided that information.
Yeah, but the treasurer has a spreadsheet that she tracks the various departments who are eligible for step raises. And then it's charted out with year one, three, four, whatever. And as people come in, she adds those to that list with their inception date.
Right.
And carries it out. And
as people exit, she's got to take those off. Right. Probably, yeah. So,
but there is a way to determine what the impact to the budget is on step rate. Yes, sir. And we'll get that number to you, sir.
And then I'm also going to, yeah, then I'll ask, you know, Ms. McFarland that maybe she can, you know, send us that, you know, spreadsheet. Because what I'm looking at is, you know, this year, then next year, we can kind of look out maybe a little bit. Oh, okay, we got a lot of people coming up next year.
But I try to annotate where they are,
yeah,
what their step is, the amount.
Right.
And, but I can break it out by how many pay periods that you have left. Once they hit for
something. The notes out inside, like.
Do you want to include the Social Security and the retirement with the increases to have as well?
No, because I mean, that you can take that total number and just kind of give it a ballpark percentage and come up with that.
Okay.
You know, part of this is, as we're asked, well, you know, you guys didn't hand out any raises this year. We can say, oh, yeah, we did.
Well, that's the,
yeah,
you know,
we did.
The overall intent of that,
right,
really, in, you know, at least my intent of that is, rather than absorbing raises every year, you know, countywide, under a STEP program, a longevity, we can absorb those expenses incrementally over time.
And we've got to be able to communicate that, because people are going to say, oh, we didn't get raises this year. Well, yeah, a lot of people did, but
yes.
And then you'll get yours next year.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so any more or general comments or questions before we start moving forward with this? Okay. From what we had discussed last week, no adjustments with the County Judge's Department, Commissioner's Court Department. There were no adjustments to the County Clerk's Department.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so please got in there.
There was two additional pages, and it was the revenues from the general fund.
Oh,
I'm revenues, county judges, and revenues again.
Well, we're just budgeting them twice, makes everything.
That way we can lower taxes.
I apologize for that. It was not intended. That was my error. So is everybody with the county clerk at this point?
I'm not going to use a, so if we look at in the county clerk, I mean, this is kind of consistent across a whole bunch of, as we go through there. So the very first employee, 2025, was 32,166.66. And this year it's 32,649.84. Would that have been because there was a step sometime during the year?
Probably so. They probably cut a step.
Cut a step sometime during the year. And
that way their full salary wasn't, it's not visually there. But they probably got a step and had 2 months left in the.
Okay. That's where it gets very confusing. When you're looking at it, you go, well, that looks like that's a.
You probably always go back and look at the previous budget and verified.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you have to put some trust in people where they're catch, you know, but I just, those were the ones where I kept looking at. I go, well, there's an increase. Oh, maybe it's because there was a step mid-year last year. Okay.
Okay. Anything else under County Clerk?
Why would there be a decrease? That change of personnel?
So, and I know which one you're speaking of.
We'll say it's EK.
Last year. And I had in the budget that she was making more than what it was actually
okay.
In payroll. Oh. I made a mistake, sir.
No.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Perfect answer, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
As I go through, but I always find mistakes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
I would imagine.
Pursuant to conversations from last week, I'm going to withdraw the emergency management position, and I left the contingencies the same. And I would just say I think that's a poor decision of the court. Non-departmental. The biggest adjustment you will see in that from last week is under IT maintenance. Given that we have issued an RFP, last week I think you would have seen a decrease in the IT maintenance overall based off of the funds that we had allocated and were being expensed. And I think you're going to see, based off of the proposals, that it's going to, we're going to need additional funds there to cover that or to be able to negotiate with a vendor for those services. And that number I based off of primarily the proposals that we had received about 4 years ago. And everything else you see there should be very consistent with what you saw last Friday. Or, yeah. Questions on non-departmental?
I don't need this time.
Okay, moving on to county court at law. Judge Lee has in fact hired the court reporter based off of the projected salary. I think some of you may have seen some email traffic going back and forth about whether he could fund that position or not. And he does have enough funding in his budget departmental wise. To be able to cover the 1 week of overlap between his current court reporter as well as the new hire position. And then the open position is the court coordinator, which I believe he is still working through how to fill that position. Any questions concerning the county court of law? Juvenile court is a carryover, and I mean, just so you're all aware, the reason I grouped that together is Judge Lee is in fact the presiding judge for juvenile court, and he did not ask for any adjustments to that. The 52nd. I reached out to Judge Kinsey and Judge Farrell. And so where we had last week numbers programmed in for court reporters, preliminary numbers have been put in for court coordinators, which they both have indicated that they were comfortable with that number. Any questions there? Okay. CPS court. Just based off of trend expenditures, I believe Mr. Wood tried to line those up with what we're seeing that's actually being expensed. And so from FY25 to FY26, you do see that the overall number is the same, but line items have been adjusted slightly in there. Questions under CPS court? Okay, 440th, I grouped it, those same comments with the 52nd. So anything on 440th? Okay. Moving on to indigent defense and pretrial services. Again, the two significant adjustments within that are the court-appointed attorneys for both the 52nd and the 440th, as well as contingencies to cover anticipated expenditures in support of the death penalty murder trial. Any comments under indigent defense or pretrial?
No comment. Is that we maybe one that we'll have to come back to. Yeah, when we get down to the, can we cut any more out of there? I expressed that, and that may require getting them to come in and talk to us about what it really, because that still is a almost 24% increase. That's it. That's an area we probably keep an eye on.
Okay. Court bailiffs, from what you saw last week to the sheet in front of you, everything has remained the same other than the addition of two automobiles to support bailiff operations. And then the pro se clinic, all of those expenditures being the same there, other than the salary adjustment.
What's the maximum step raise that we have out there?
I think at 15 years, I believe there is a 5,000.
Okay. Biggest one is 5.
Okay. Any comments under the court bailiffs or pro se clinic?
On my spreadsheet, I had one bailiff that is, I think it's $6,008.33 increase. That was just an odd number. That's under LR or RL. Doesn't show a step this year, so it had to be last year's, I guess. Yeah. I'm looking. Oh, I went too far.
Yeah, it was last year 318 or 818 to 25. So it's coming when it's coming up. Oh, yeah, it's still in the 25, but it's 2.
I mean, just one to look into.
I was going to say. Any of these that we identify, I'm putting a little mark by them so that we can go back and verify that we computed those correctly.
Yeah, just an odd amount.
and that's perfectly fine. Because I don't think we can resolve it right here right now. There's going to have to be to go back and look at that number.
When I was going through these differences, I didn't understand them, so I kind of stopped.
Okay.
You know, I just went, okay, I need to get an explanation of how we would come up with a $6,008 increase in one. Then I didn't do any further.
Okay. All right. Any other comments under this one?
Are we commenting on taking stuff out yet?
I need you to highlight, you know, areas of concern that you may have.
Okay. Mine would be the vehicle.
Okay.
Mine would be the vehicle.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so anything else?
So on LR, your concerns with that is the another mistake on the auditor. We'll get that fixed, sir. Right. It'll reflect his salaries for last year. About $4,175 that is not in the 2025 original budget amount. You look at the bottom of the salary portion of the court panelists, it's the 2025 approved budget was $339,508.59. You'll see in our current proposed budget for 25 original budget was $333,559.
Ah,
yeah. So that will change. You will get a better representation.
Yeah, if I find any more, I'll just.
Yes, sir.
I'll bring them to you, and like that, perfect. There's great explanations. Thank you, sir.
Okay, moving on to the district clerk. No adjustments from what you saw last week. I believe all the numbers accurately reflect that. The discussion point that I would have, trying to be consistent throughout the budget, is there have been open positions in the district clerk's office for about the past 2 years. So are we going to continue to fund those positions that are not being filled?
Well, I visited with her about that. She has hired one, and she's interviewing two more at this time, or that is of last week sometime. So, yeah, I think you need to leave them for now.
Yeah, I think with anybody, it could be some timing. Any position could be timing issue too. You know, if you have an open position, if somebody quit before we ran this, you know, we have no. I just know that's been a lot of actions in and out. Some transfers to different departments, some leaving.
What I will get you then is the total number of open days. I think it'll be very eye-opening. Okay. Anything else under the district clerk? Moving on to JPs 1 and 2. If you'll note under JP 2, there does seem to be a large increase in that particular department. That is because this court, my understanding is this court is wishing to turn a part-time position into a full-time position. And so no longer is Ms. Sheldon's salary split between the two. JP1 will have a court clerk, and JP2 will have a court clerk. I believe at the request of the JPs and the consensus of the court, there was a desire to increase their travel. So you'll note from 2025 to 2026, there is an increase in travel for all of the JPs.
Agreed.
All right, anything else on precincts 1 and 2? Precincts 3 and 4, it's the same rhetoric. It was just adjustment in travel for those. Questions or comments there? None. Moving on to the county attorney's office. Salary computations were based off of his requests. Where you see increases there. With his other line items remaining the same. Comments concerning the county attorney. Hearing none, moving on to the district attorney. No adjustments from what you had previously seen. However, again, under the one employee, taking her from grant funded to making that a funded position. Now, we'll still apply for the grant funds. And the grant funds could be transferred over. But I think it is imperative that we have that as a county position, a county funded position. Because I'm not sure we're going to get all the grant funds that we've previously applied for and been designated. It'll either be that, or we will have to increase the amount. We do a cash match to be able to get the full funding. But either way, there's a lot of time, effort, and paperwork that goes into that one grant, and I do think it warrants that, since that is a mandated position, we should have that under the county payroll. Any comments concerning the district attorney? Is there going to be opposition in funding that one position as a county? I mean, really, are you going to say, oh, just we're not going to vote for that one?
Based on everything I know today, I'm not. It's just my biggest. I would assume that Dusty will still push her to apply for that grant. That's one of those things. Right now, you're very motivated to get that grant. Just as long as the motivation is still very strong to complete that grant, I'd be okay with it.
There's another position that is fully funded underneath that grant.
Okay.
And when I didn't adjust that.
Right.
Because we're not required to have that position. We have that just based off of a workload position or workload. We are required to have a crimes victims coordinator.
Yeah. What are the initials of the other one that's?
It'll be back in the funds area.
Oh, okay.
I think she's about halfway down.
Yes. Thank you. And she's not fully funded by that. No.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Beautiful thing about that, at the end of the day, it's a 1% increase over last year. Overall, so yay.
Okay. Moving on to the county auditor and county treasurer.
This is $500 miscellaneous.
So, I know we approved.
We look at it through.
I mess with you.
So we approved the new software.
Yeah.
When does that bill come due? Or did we already?
No, the implementation will start, conversion will start in like April of next year.
But we already expensed it?
Mm-hmm.
No.
We haven't been billed for any of it, sir.
Okay.
When they start the conversion process, they'll start at half the monthly rate or something. I can't remember what it is. But it won't be too late until we start seeing invoices on that. All the software has been moved up to non-departmental.
Right. So that comes out of that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Any other comments under those two departments? Okay. Oh, and he left. Tax assessor collector. I had no adjustments, nothing that I saw. That was out of line from what we had previously presented to you.
How about the $9,000 merit increase, guys?
Every department is their own.
Okay.
I mean,
you've already given us that speech. I get it.
Well, no, but also what I'm saying is truly to be equitable or at least forward looking. If this is approved as he had requested, you should anticipate that other departments are going to, you know, do a very similar something in the future.
I was getting that because it's opening up Pandora's box.
And the other part of that too is if that's something that we are going to address, then it gets into is merit pay a for lack of a better term, is it a bonus for that employee for that specified fiscal year, or is that just an add-on to their salary in perpetuum? So it would carry over year after year after year. So there's 9,000 this year. We fund another 9,000 next year. Well, then that means that's actually 18,000 above this year or last year, because it'd be 9,000 this year and 9,000 the next and 9,000, you know, it just would keep adding on. As opposed to these three employees were my great employees, you know, this particular year. And they would get that merit pay. Doesn't mean they're going to be your best three employees the next fiscal year.
So which way is that intended, though? Like a one-time deal? Or?
I think he intends it as an add-on to their salary as a raise. So I need some feedback.
I feel like I'm always the guy that has to start it. You know? Okay. I don't think we should do it.
I'm reading. Sorry. Do it.
I am reading.
If you do it one department, we gotta do it for all of them.
Well, you don't have to.
No, I mean, you have to do it. I mean, that's not the right thing.
The rest of them will come back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you bet. If I was a department head or an elected official, I'm going to.
Oh, yeah.
Come back immediately. If not next year, I'd come back this year.
And there's five step raises being adjusted. There's $6,000 right there to step raise.
I believe you're human, and humans make mistakes, don't they? Just.
But that software stuff that's going to be adjusted, that's already been, we've already addressed that issue, right?
I don't think that merit pay deal, if it's gonna be permanent on the side, I think that's something.
Okay, I will remove that from the proposed budget. And I'll pick that up with Mr. Carruthers. I'll talk with him. Any other?
So, Mr. Auditor, this is a perfect example on that page.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. I love it. On the page of the tax assessor collector, we have a column that says step raise.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly, you know, it shows a total of $6,500. Now, it's not our actual. We don't know if that's our actual, but at least it shows. But then if you go back to that very first page where I said under, you know, the county judge, there's a little $1,000 off to the side. It's probably because a lot of your pages have not been, that step raise section has not been created.
Right. And an easy way to do the math, Commissioner Whittle, you can take that 1,500 divided by 12, then you go over here to where that
right.
step comes in and then multiply
3-1.
10.
Right.
Because that's 10 pay periods. That they'll have remaining at that new.
Yes, we have 24 pay periods.
Yes.
No, I got that. Just real quick, we can look at each department like you know, Commissioner Basham did for this one. If there's one that doesn't have that column and it's not totaled, it can be a little hard to find sometimes.
Well, in his defense, too, I'm doing these as, you know, as individual breakouts. And there are additional columns in the spreadsheet to the right-hand side.
Yeah.
It's got other formulas and things built in there.
That you can't fit.
Of it I may not be copying completely because I don't have all the page breaks set up. I'm trying to get there,
yep.
But I just don't have them there.
Okay.
So there may be some additional information because most of it is consistent. But then part of that, too, is... in trying to make it more user-friendly for the commissioners, there may be portions of the overall spreadsheet that I'm omitting.
Okay. Bring it up because if we keep improving, as long as we keep doing the budget this way, make it a lot easier. And I can see that, $6,500. Now, that's not the actual amount, but at least it's a... Okay, so, sorry.
Okay.
So $9,000 line, I'm for me.
Okay. Anything else to cover under the tax assessor collector? Okay. Moving on to courthouse and annexes for maintenance. We've added in some additional funding under contract services for clean. So we can augment our county employees with quarterly, I don't know, I'll leave it to Commissioner Basham to, you know, how he wants to manage that. But basically, that's what that additional funding for that line item is, to have additional cleaning services on a contract basis. So any questions under maintenance for courthouses and annexes?
No.
Okay. Moving along to the jail. That first page is all of the employees, jail employees. Payroll. Question or comments there? Okay. And then expenditures for the jail. The one adjustment from what had previously been discussed is we had left prison board at out of county prisoner board at 2.7 million. I don't think we're going to come anywhere close to 2 million at this point. So I reduced that to 2.2 million for out of county prison. But did leave medical and hygiene still at the greater amount. Based off of conversations from last week, food for inmates was going to be at 400,000. And I think all of the other numbers are in line with what you'd previously seen.
No, if I'm comfortable with that prisoner board change. I know we mashed a lot of teeth last year on this, but we know rates are going up.
Judge, yeah, me personally, just my opinion, I think it'll be at least $250,000. I mean, I know it's not much, but.
Well, that's much.
Okay, you, no. Forgive me.
2.5 million.
Okay.
We're still cutting it from last year. I mean, it's a big, but I mean, not just.
Well,
do we have any idea what, I don't know if we don't have a crystal ball. What is going to come under? You do think we're going to come under $2 million this year?
Okay, so right, so as of June 30th,
right.
Okay, which would be 75% of the the fiscal year, we had expensed $1.4 million. If you carry that out, just do an average of that, and that becomes that next column. And so our projected expenditures for this year would be 1.8, almost pushing 1.9 million. Okay. So what I tried to do in that is say, okay, a 20% overage. If we were at 1.9 pushing to me, that's where I came up with, how did I come to 2.2? Is it's trying to take the current expenses, put a little fudge factor to it, and then throw another 10% on top of it. That was my way of thinking of it. So we're absorbing in that, potential increases in, out of county housing, as well as if there's some cost increases to that. But there, you know, if you're not comfortable with that number, then let's talk about it. And, you know, I don't think there's any way we're going to come close to 2.5. I mean, I think you're leaving a couple hundred thousand dollars, you know, out there at that. If it made you feel better to go 2.3, I'll concede that. I mean,
I just don't want to have to go through what went for last year. Year before.
Yeah. That.
That's just a tough session. We don't have a crystal ball. We have no idea. But I don't want to sit there and bring all those guys back in and say, all right, you got to cut all this out.
Yep.
And I just.
We're 1 year into a learning curve of the impact of the additional spaces.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're learning. Yeah. You know, that number kind of is adjusting itself a little bit. Prior year, we didn't have those additional spaces. I don't know. That's one of them. So it's a very, very dangerous one if we do have a shortfall. So there's a number somewhere. And I agree with your logic. I mean, it's a sound.
I agree with what you're saying too. Good.
It's a sound logic.
I don't want to be the guys that we leave $100,000 out there and we don't use it. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, you did the math. I mean, I had
it. Leaving $100,000 out there and not using it's a good thing.
Sure it is. I mean, absolutely. But, I mean,
that's a good thing.
Absolutely. I agree.
Because it just.
When you come up $100,000 short,
that's a bad thing. And we could go through the entire budget with that entire mentality. And there's a lot of things that we budget for that are percentage wise, maybe not dollar wise, but percentage wise, have that same thing. I mean, like, zero expenses, we're still budgeting $5,000 for it this year. That's a huge percentage difference. And we have categories like that, places where we didn't expense anything last year, but we're still putting $5,000 in.
Hey, Doug, what are you projecting for that line item to fall on this year?
If we carried it out, if our inmate numbers stayed consistent with where they've been through the first three quarters of the year, we would finish up FY25. At just shy of 1.9 million.
Yeah. We're fixing to have the pair hands pushed out, so
yeah, that's
something to more consideration too.
We do those air handlers. I mean, of course, you're just talking about maybe a week, 5 to 7 days, and we're gonna have to have some crane activity. And Jeff Richard said, absolutely no inmates in that facility. And there's 40 inmates up in that west wing that will have to move out. And I was thinking about it, it was scary, but I don't know where in the heck, you know,
That would hit this, this fiscal year, or would, do we need to plan to budget for it next year?
We'll start, hopefully the project starts. Well, that's true. It'll hit this year. Because I'm hoping that if we start this project, it sometime around the middle of August.
I think, somewhere.
So
that one, you have to meet the action for it.
How long is the project going to take?
Between the nine air handlers, they're predicting 45 days to 2 months.
All right, so the worst case scenario is 60 days.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
All right.
The worst one being the budget, but there's like it holds 43 inmates.
Okay, so if we said 43 inmates times
7 days.
60 days. Because I'm doing the worst case scenario.
Yes, sir.
So yes, 43 that we have to house out of county for 60 days times, and we'll go with the max rate I think we're paying right now is 120. Is $309,600.
That one. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but I just made a hold. So I don't foresee that being that.
Well, if that were the worst case scenario, and you said, right now we're at 1.9, and if that held consistent next year, 1.9 million overall.
Yes.
You add 300,000 to that, comes up to 2.2 million. So be right at what? So that being the case, you then 2.3 or 2.4 may be a reasonable number for that line item. Does that make sense to y'all?
Right.
All right.
And you got to look for those
long term. Good with that. Okay. Anything else to cover under the jail?
Not this time.
Okay.
I just wanted to show them how the Castelli is. So.
I'll call you. All right. In discussions, taking into account the potential to have to house many of our inmates out of county because of maintenance issues, we'll readjust that number to 2.4. And that still gives us some wiggle room, because the calculations, worst case would be a little over 300,000 for just the maintenance piece of that. So I think that gives us.
The court may have, I don't split hairs, but I'm.
I feel more comfortable at 2.4. Just don't want to. I mean, it's still a $300,000 decrease from last year.
Yes.
Which is a big, there's not many departments that can do that.
Okay. Moving on to, or anything else in the jail. Those are the big, everything else that was programmed in there is what was requested, or something that they had already agreed that they could come in at a lower amount. So that's all I had for, things to address. Moving on to constables for precinct 1 and 2. There was a new position and some additional expenditures for constable precinct 1 that you'd previously seen that we took those out. In conjunction with that, there was an increase for like fuel and oil, training and education, miscellaneous, that you might see at a previous number that would have supported that new reserve deputy, that I just reset those to previously budgeted amounts.
Okay.
Constable for precinct 2. Any issues there? Okay, moving on to 3 and 4. Issues there. Okay. Moving on to the Sheriff's Department. There were two specific, Sheriff's Department alone, there was a specific raise request for one individual.
That FDF, yeah, okay.
You mentioned two years, I believe.
Yeah, one.
I think we just missed it on the last.
Hinge on the
restructure now. Yeah, I think it's on the old.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm.
I got you. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but
one under sheriff, one under district.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just splitting it up, you know, as you know, sheriff deputies versus, and then we'll talk the dispatch piece. But so do you want to support that individual raise request?
I've met that individual.
Yeah. Commissioner, you said yes. Okay.
Yeah, seems like they've got a lot on their plate in that, and that's fairly new. It's kind of a reorganization, right? That's fairly new focus on a person. That makes sense.
Well, okay. He's helping us out big time with our pin packs. He's so familiar with everything that he's ever fixed something. You know,
yeah.
So background investigations, we got one guy doing it, just that's how a lot of them work for everybody else. And then he does the our civil paperwork, all the pen packs, and then he deals with the open records department, which is in Monster itself.
So. Yeah. And do you think this position would have a lot to do with implementation of the new software too, and kind of
absolutely.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm seeing too, that this is a big, that person is going to be involved in that new software a lot.
Yeah, between him and Spencer.
Okay. Yeah, I'm based on everything I know, I am okay to that outlier request.
Okay.
Hey, I just want to go back. You were talking, speaking about the jail.
The jail.
You know, we had that one position for the kitchen ball. Yeah, so, what you talking about?
Yeah, that'd be going from, well, basically, a lieutenant.
No,
corporal pay. Initials? The name, first and last?
You had to ask me that.
Wake up.
Yeah. Is that...
Yeah. We're trying to stay away from names.
He's currently listed under the sheet that I gave you all under Kitchen Boss Atkins.
Okay, got you.
What was the request for Bobby Mayor?
So what I'm asking is that we move it like we did the Zoom clerk.
Okay.
I think the Zoom clerk said 43.5, if I remember right. Let me look at this. Yeah, not necessarily a ranked position, but a pay that goes with that particular position as a kitchen boss or whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Well, then, yeah, step.
Yeah, I've got to use step this year also.
Yeah, those two, yeah. And if you go the little part about the ride, it should show up the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a roughly a $3,500 increase. He's currently at 40, and we want to move him to 43.5.
He's also getting a step as well.
I'm sorry?
He's also getting a step as well.
Good.
That's a raise.
I mean, my thing about it is this, guys. I have to have this kitchen position. And the licensing that they have to have, and it takes a unique person. This guy, we kind of got lucky. We hired him as a janitor, but he was a restaurant manager for Pluckers in the past. So he comes with that experience. The licensing he has to have, not only with the jailer, but and the food service license, but he also has a food manager license. And he's got to keep up with the budget, and he's got to order the food each week and things that the other jailers don't normally do. He has a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah, and I think the only conversation really should be you've got to be very, very careful when you're not. Yeah, we're not talking about individuals. We're talking about the position. What does the position require? And you're really setting a salary for that position and not a person.
Right.
What's the jailer's starting pay? 41? 41.
It's actually 40.
40.
Is it 40? Yeah.
Yeah, you look down here, you'll see
40. Some open position, yeah.
Thank you. That's good tip.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just kind of
there's some holiday pay
consensus to support a wage rate adjustment for the specified position of kitchen boss.
I think that was a great way of putting it. It's a wage raise, a wage
adjustment.
Yeah, adjustment. It's not really a new. You know, it's not a merit or we're having to adjust because that position is.
So whether it's this person or whether it's somebody else,
right. Yeah.
the position receives that above and beyond
what a normal jailer would
receive. Yes,
I agree with that.
Okay,
because he's still a jailer.
Yes. Okay.
Then we go down to the one. I guess.
And I think that looking at that, Mr. Bradford just showed me with both of them getting step increases. They're both going to be at equal pay with whatever that Zoom clerk is. I think it was 45.8 where it ended up being after the steps.
And then the only other thing, you weren't here previously. We had the out of county prisoner board at 2.7 million. I'd proposed 2.2 million based off of our spending trend. But taking into consideration that we're going to have, as part of replacing air handlers, we're going to have to find places for some individuals out of county during that construction period. And so what we're looking at, a proposed prisoner board of $2.4 million.
Sorry, I'm doing some math here trying to.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
So this is what I base it on. I base it on that we house out approximately 60 inmates on average each year. And the total average. If you were to take 125, which is the most that we're spending right now, times 60 inmates, times 365 days a year, that's 2.737 million. Now, if we were to cut that and then 125 times 55 inmates, and that's just five people, times 365, we're at 2.5 million. So five people make that big a difference in overall in the year. Yeah. So I think if we get down right now, we're not housing out as many. We're right at about 50, I think, 49. I haven't seen the numbers this morning. But that gives us no wiggle room, none whatsoever. And what I see is prisoner boarding money. When I say wiggle room, is I don't know how many people that Gainesville PD is going to arrest this week and how many are going to get to go to court. I don't know how many TDC is going to take. That's the game that I play trying to get that balance in there. Because I can only give you an average. I can't give you a direct number.
No, and I fully respect that. And so part of what I have responsibility, the court has responsibility of is balancing that versus what we're actually spending. And so through June, which would be three-fourths of the fiscal year, we had spent $1.4 million. If you carry that trend out for July, August, September, last 3 months, we have a projection of $1.9 million.
Right.
So if we carried that year over year, and this is what I explained to the court, is $1.9 is close enough to $2 million. That I just call it 2 million. And then looking at a 10% growth factor, that's where I came up with 2.2. And again, it's just based off the trends. I know there'll be some months you'll have 70 people that you're housing out of county. Well, we hope that there are more months like right now, maybe where we're only housing 50 that are out of county. But not everything operates as a hope. So given kind of the historical trends and the spending of it, and then taking into account having to house some out of county this year for the maintenance piece of things, that's where we came up with the 2.4. And not questioning, your math on the 125 times the 60, but we also know that not all of them are going to be at 125.
And I will tell you that is true. Some of the ones that we've been dealing with this year, as low as $58.
Yeah.
We just signed a new contract with EBRAP, and that went up.
Yes.
From $60 to $75 or to $100. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Bosky's now at $75. So those were lower numbers that we tried to keep as many as we could in those lower things to come in under budget intentionally, right? But those people are raising their rates as well.
Yeah.
So that's also going to play a factor in that. And I don't know what the rates are going to be. I can tell you that I haven't got a contract with McLennan County yet on housing out the 48 inmates for the air handler situation that's going to occur hopefully within this budget year, so it doesn't affect me next year. But That's going to be at the high rate, probably 125, 130 a day. Because they say they have the bed space, but they don't have the employees, so they're going to have to pay overtime in order to do that.
Yeah, and it's different between a long-term contract and a short-term. I would definitely expect them to.
Absolutely, but the
stick us a little bit.
I think the bottom line is that it still hits the budget, no matter what, how long the contract. So, all I can say, gentlemen, is that I think you know me well enough to know that you give me a number, I'm going to do my best to pay attention to that.
Okay, jumping back over to jail. So my notes indicate general support for the wage adjustment on civil process. And were there any others to address? All right, but you'll also note that there were two new deputy positions added, and the other four that had been requested were removed.
Were you in, Judge?
The first page of the Sheriff's Department, which is just personnel. Yeah. They're there.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm in support of
deputies.
Yes.
All
yeah,
that
for all those being yes.
I don't assign them.
That's what that's
okay.
Call it plan right. East and West territory deputies.
All right. And then there was another specific wage request for one individual in dispatch.
Yes.
Okay. Then for expenditures and line items, everything was built in. What I was going to talk to Mr. Wood about is potentially separating out the funding for SWAT, rather than being all in that one line item. What are your thoughts on that?
However you want to do it, sir.
Right. Does that help y'all or hurt y'all?
No. We're just trying to establish the line items. And I don't know. Is it easier for you to put it somewhere else or?
I like it. I like having it as a separate myself. We can.
It makes.
Yeah, it makes it easier. Makes
some line item, correct?
Yeah, it would. You.
Yes, that's all.
Okay, all right. So you, we would still have general law enforcement supplies.
Correct.
And then somewhere in here where there's a free number, then we will plug in. We'll just call it SWAT.
Yes.
And so then there's a designated amount for SWAT.
It becomes its own line item.
Yes, within
sir.
The,
yes, sir.
Okay.
Are they okay with leaving the taser in the law enforcement equipment?
I think for right now, yes. Yeah. I think just that one piece for SWAT to be pulled out. And everything else has been left in the budget as requested to include the increased amount for the E-Force. Questions there? Anything you want to address under the Sheriff's Department? Okay. Indigent Health, other than a program step raise, I did not adjust any of those. I still have some reservations about underfunding the medical care, but I suspect that if we would put a number, you know, if we increase that at all, it's going to have even a more detrimental impact on our projected reserve. Other health and welfare, as I indicated the other day, wanted to put just a little bit more into indigent funerals because I do think we need to increase the amount that we're funding to our local funeral homes. And really that's Scott's funeral home here in Gatesville. We also get Bowers funeral home. And then I forget the other one. There's two in Copper's Cove that we get regular submissions on those. And that's funding our local businesses. Any questions under indigent health or other health and welfare? Yes.
But did you already move on to, are you going to the sheriff's office?
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk. Can we go back for just a second? I just had one more thing to ask about. I forgot.
We can go back.
I apologize.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's me. I'm a bad guy, isn't it? the only thing I wanted to speak about, just to bring it up again, I don't know where y'all are at as far as dispatch, as far as the holiday pay.
Holiday pay and overtime pay. Overtime pay was increased, and holiday pay was programmed in.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Holiday pay was not their way to do it.
It was not?
I think for those folks to get holiday pay, and we might visit with the treasurer of this, they have to be included in the 171.
Right.
They are not currently under that. Okay. I did increase the comp and overtime pay to, I guess, address it, but I mean, I really haven't ran any numbers on it. Don't know where to end on what numbers to include in that, but we will see that the comp and overtime was raised from 45,000 last year to 60,000 last year, initially proposed.
Yeah.
Okay.
In an effort to address giving them the ability to pay overtime.
Okay.
They'd have to go to the 171.
No. Well, maybe unless we create a separate. You know, we create a separate policy because statutorily, or if you're going to do it, dispatchers don't fall under the 171 or the 207, actually, the 207K.
Right? Yeah,
they're not under that
hours work period.
Right. Yeah. So the 207K dispatchers don't fall under that. So if we do overtime and holiday pay, then it really just has to be a separate policy that we establish, give them a budget line item, I think, for that amount of dollars, say, okay, here's your holiday, here's your overtime dollars, and then you guys have to, you know, administer that.
I'm going strictly off memory. To receive overtime, you've got to work a 40-hour week.
Yes. Right.
But you get credit for 8 hours if there is a holiday. So if you're working the holiday, that should apply towards overtime.
Right. Or what is your policy, Jerry?
Right.
We did it either way over there. You can either burn the day at a later date, or you could turn in your time and get paid for it.
But well, that's what I was saying about, you know, okay, take dispatchers versus, you know, other county employees. July 4th, they're going to have July 4th off. You're going to have some dispatchers that are programmed to work that day.
Absolutely.
They should be eligible for overtime because they're working during a time when other people are comped just by the nature of the policy. And then it would, yeah, I mean, that would be the, because they're really putting in 48 hours in that 40-hour work week.
Right.
If that.
Well, they're in the Panama schedule, same as jail. Okay. So they work 12-hour shifts where 1 week they'll work five, and the next week they'll work two. So I think the way that y'all did that with the jail was everybody gets that holiday pay.
Yes.
As it comes around, it's already figured into their checks.
We can do that for the jailers though, because the jailers still fall under the 171.
Right.
I think that's the issue that we get into is that we can't directly do that with dispatch, because they're ineligible. They're not qualified for the 171. So we've got to figure out what the Department of Labor policy is and how we can, how we can apply that versus how you've got your work schedule set up.
Yeah, because I think the way Randy and Melissa have it worked out is they work 10s and 12s. So they're just trying to get rid of all their comp.
Yeah. And then ours is even more convoluted because we're on a bi-monthly pay schedule, which is 24 pay periods.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and we also have to, I guess, you know, we got to rely on payroll to do this, because it's when you say, you know, they get overtime pay, that would be time and a half, but it's not time and a half plus holiday pay. I mean, they're already getting compensated 8 hours for the holiday. Does that make sense? I think.
The only thing the girls can do is full comp.
Right now, that's all they can do. All they can do. If they're off, they're not docked for that.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that was a much better way of. So if you have.
Well, Mr. Wood has some additional funds in here. And so I think that's a good start. It's just incumbent upon us that by October 1st, we need to figure out, or I guess our first holiday in FY26, we need to have a policy that addresses specifically dispatch and how they would be compensated for overtime.
He does have some additional funding. So
there's some programmed in there.
I give it up.
In understanding this first go around, it might not be a perfect, you know, policy, and we'll figure out. It's very.
Yeah, the first one is just that, you know, we're losing girls. And
yep.
We've got it sometimes. Now that we'll staff it as fast, they got to get hanged up and sense bias and all this other stuff. But so girls that don't have time to take off and utilize their call time.
Yeah.
So it's like if they're going to be here, they'd rather just be. They paid out, yeah.
Yep. The word I hear too is, anything we can do to minimize comp time is good in my book.
Well, one of my biggest thing about comp is, you know, I still got to go back and figure out who's got what. You know, I'm making people burn time right now.
Yeah, good.
Which still makes us short-handed.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to burn it because there's people that got 800 to 1,000 hours of comp time. I mean, that's a healthy check when they decide to pop smoke.
And we do have a policy that they can only carry so much. I mean, there is a policy on.
I didn't know that before I came in.
Right.
I had no idea, but
yeah. I mean, our handbook actually says that they can only have so many hours, and it doesn't matter whether you present it. Technically, it shouldn't matter if they present. If you present us with 800 hours, if the maximum is 400, that's all the county is obligated to pay. And that's a bad situation to be in for all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's a very bad situation that we kind of let get.
And don't, if they reach a certain amount, aren't they supposed to be paid out? Well,
no. No, there's been.
So then all the department heads are paying attention.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Commissioner Matthews probably speaks to us a little better than the judge. So, you know, it's certainly up to the elected official and department head to make sure that that doesn't get there. But it's this court or prior courts, prior administrations and whatever has allowed that to just escalate past that maximum number. And we've all talked about it out loud. You know, the day that there's a couple folks that quit, you know, they accumulated an astronomical amount of comp time. And those are big numbers. And
hey, Randy, do.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we've got some built in there. It may not be the right number, but we've got some built in there. And so what we need, or what I would ask of you, is help us from your standpoint. What does a policy look like? We'll kind of, and we'll try to come together on what does that look like to be able to support overtime. Okay, we're picking up now, going back to county agents. Other than office equipment, there wasn't anything that they were asking for outside of just normal budgeting things.
You know, in the process this year, there was some question of the fuel and maintenance, you know, line item. Yeah, and I remember the court's intent when we created that was they could also use that for rental of, you know, vehicles, which they've elected not to do.
Correct.
This year, right?
Yes.
But he did say, he did say, I believe, that there were some stuff coming up they were going to be using that line item.
Could we just add that word on there, you know, fuel, maintenance, and rentals? That way there's no confusion as to what we, when I spoke to Mr. Ferguson, he said that. He goes, oh, well, I didn't know that. Because he's looking at his fuel and maintenance, that he could use it to actually do a rental vehicle.
I've had two different conversations with him.
I had two.
I mean, and I think he was, you know, well, in my conversations, I walked away with believing that he had an understanding that that line item was available for rentals if they so needed.
Yeah. We did that because we're not going to address it, you know, a county supported vehicle.
Well, he said he didn't want one.
Yeah.
I'm going to make. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So anything else under county agents? Adult probation?
Nope.
Right. Juvenile probation?
Oh, good. We is zero increase.
Okay. Other supported services. I was asking for a little bit more for veteran service officer. Mr. Smith has indicated that he will be retiring at the end of this year. So we're going to have some additional training that we need to pick up. And thought I had another individual to come on board to work the Gatesville office part-time. Mr. Smith works the Coppers Cove side. That didn't work out. So I'm going to continue to seek someone so we would have a part-timer in Coppers Cove and a part-time in Gatesville. And then based off of some of the expense issues that we had. What did that not? Right. I programmed in miscellaneous. You could also call it contingencies, but I was programming 200,000 in that line item so that we have expenses in the general fund that we can cover for contingencies.
There's going to be like, you want to have some kind of answer type deal where they, we, people can drop off batteries and tires.
We're not to that line.
We're not there yet.
Well, the question, Judge, is, you know, I know, I guess you're the overseer of that miscellaneous column. And so what are the and it's not about you, okay? It's about the position.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a stopgap does the court have as to what is deemed miscellaneous? You know, what expenditures come out of there? How is that spent? I mean, when I say miscellaneous or contingencies, I cringe a little bit because there's very little oversight over what's expensed out of that.
Well, I won't say that I have daily conversations with Mr. Wood, but I would say that, you know, pretty much anything that, you know, I'm committing the county for above and beyond that, you know, just what's very clearly defined, I consult with him. I mean, but most of that, when you're talking about something like that, there are those things that we go through the budgeting process and we've talked to all the departments. And then, you know, all of a sudden we need some funding for, I mean, you know, the building over in Copper's Cove. You know, we were scrounging to pull from, you know, different pieces of the capital improvement fund and what Mr. Carruthers had available to him. And certainly this wouldn't cover a building purchase, but there are some items that we could have directly expensed out of this. That's the contingency. The things that, no matter how good of a budgeting process we go through, you can't identify every one of them. And what we, or the lesson I learned that from this past year, is that if you don't have an expense built in there somewhere, it doesn't make any difference whether you have the revenue on hand or not. That's the, but if y'all are not supportive of that,
I would be more apt to put money in a capital improvement fund for those buildings and roofs and all those things that, you know.
Well, and I'm not opposed to that, but there's some things that aren't going to fall under capital improvement.
Right.
I mean, that's.
I'm not saying the whole thing, but we have nothing under capital improvement, and like those buildings and things like that, those are capital improvements to me. That's how I do it, you know, in my business. Those are capital improvements. So I would say put money in capital improvements if you did when you needed to, you know, you can do a budget amendment. But I'm not saying the whole 200K out of it, but, you know, I agree. I mean,
split it, put 100,000 in capital improvement and 100,000 miscellaneous.
I think we need more than that capital improvement. But
well, I know that.
Yeah. But yeah, I got what you're saying. But
well, there's a total right now of what is projected in the budget of 455,000 under capital improvement.
So that is what we will generate.
Something too, Judge, that I mean, I know we've got that corridor back, house management plan being developed, but I'm getting quotes on that one dome because it is starting to take in a lot of water and that starting to affect some of these little courthouses. I don't have any idea what that's going to solve the rest of that issue. I don't sit here and talk a lot of stuff, but I want to bring this back to the court's attention.
Yeah.
That courthouse is going to have to, that dome is going to have to be addressed sooner than later.
This is the, because we've got to make some decisions. I mean, because we have not cut a whole lot, you know, out of this. And I'm willing to go through it one more time real quick to, but at this point, you know, either you're telling me you support funding some contingencies under the general fund, and then we also have the capital improvement fund, or you're telling me that you don't support those contingencies. That's the bottom line.
And, well, we supported 5,000 last year, and it's jumping to 200. I think that's a wow. That's a, you know, kind of a, maybe a, and I'm not opposed. I mean, I'm one that I think budget amendments should not be looked at as a negative. They should be looked at as a positive. For instance, we spent a large amount of time talking about trying to guess, purely an educated guess, of what prisoner board was going to be. We have $100,000 allocated towards litigation. How can we predict, right, what type of litigation we're going to have? We've expensed this year $5,000. I don't have a clue what that was for, but we spent $5,000, so we're $95,000. So, yeah, much of this is, it's a guessing game, and where we put it many times doesn't matter to me because I believe in budget amendments, even from, I guess what this allows us is who controls the other supported services category? Does the court control that, or does, I mean,
I can do about the fields, but I mean, it's obviously the document.
Yeah. So, and again, all I'm looking for is that there needs to be oversight over how things are expensed. And I get the whole contracts and, you know, any contract entered into supposed to be brought through the court, any contract. Anyway, I think that's a gigantic jump on a, well, what could happen? You know, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we don't. We could go through and argue that for every single person's budget.
Those are cheap, Judge. You know, you have to have 70% time. So, Judge, you know, I'm fine leaving that $100,000, take the $100,000 off, leave that $100,000. That's where my stand is.
Okay. All right.
How do y'all feel about it?
I think it could be a little bit less than that, but yeah, I'm fine with that. But I mean, you said something about something going towards capital or a balance, maybe.
There's not a tax rate program.
No plan.
I thought that's what you were saying a while ago.
No.
We've got the expenditures programmed in. There's a balance.
I thought you were saying that.
No, the expenditures are programmed. Okay. Anything else you want to cover on other supported services? Contributions, I think you're asking about contributions, and you'll see those are the ones that are listed there at the bottom.
Yeah. You know, I last year I was, you know, hot But one of the glaring things that I saw this year in that presentation was the vast majority of what's the HOP is used for in this county is in Gatesville. Gatesville proper.
Right.
And then I asked the question, does Gatesville donate anything to the HOP? And the answer was no. Now, they're still, first and foremost, they're county residents, but they're citizens of Gatesville. And I don't want to ever, I think we've got a great relationship with the city of Gatesville, but sometimes I feel like we take the brunt of providing their citizens the same services. Because it was very few, riders, really, in the county. It was mostly within the city, if I read that right. And I asked that question. So that was just one I'm still struggling with a little bit of, we'll get to that when we probably talk about the fire department, them wanting to support us supporting the Gatesville fire there over county fire department.
In the same section of other supported services, we've got to do something about these stinking cats and dogs. And we have no resource without paying Gatesville or paying Culver's Cove. And even there's sometimes that they can't because they're full. But it is a continuous problem. I know somebody's feeding three right now. But anyway, we need to do something.
I'll tell you, it's me, guys.
We need to do something that to where we've got an interlocal agreement on the aggressive dogs, but we've got to do something on,
but what is that? Dogs. That's what I've been struggling
What's
with,
that?
Guys.
What's number?
Yeah, what do other counties, what are
but we need something for it.
You know what it becomes?
I know it's not cheap at all.
No.
I mean, you got to remember, Copper Scope just spent $4.8 million. They wanted to spend $8.8 million on a dog pay. So
it is. Well, it's just my belief. I mean, the feral animals, unclaimed animals, excuse me, out in the unincorporated areas, are not in. Are not the source problem. I think most of the feral ones out there are coming from the incorporated areas and being dropped off in the rural areas.
But then they become our problem.
If they're adult dog, you can go take them to the vet and more than likely they'll die. Some soldiers that got skipped off. But pups, I mean, there's a handful of pups dropped off in the day, but you got to do something with them,
And here's the rub, right? If they're from the city, which nobody can determine, and they're dropped out in the county, the city will not take those animals because they're out in the county.
That's why I said we need to build some kind of relationship on that. It's going to take a dollar bill.
In the cold, hard fact and reality is, as far as I know, 4-L only has one no kill shelter, and it is full constantly because they have very small capacity to take animals in. If it pleases the court, Commissioner Matthews brought it up. I'm experiencing this firsthand right now, and I don't know what to do. At three puppies, we're figuring 4 to 6 month old lost at our low water crossing. I tried to ignore it for a day and a half. Tried to do that. Don't look, don't look, don't look. Then they ended up at my front gate. And at that point, I said, all right, now it's my responsibility. It's my problem. I spent the entire weekend this morning because guess what? They were chasing my neighbor's chickens. They leave their dog running free. I didn't want them to get mauled by this big a dog that stands this tall, and I got three little puppies that don't know any better. So I spent the entire weekend refurbishing and building, a kennel to store them in until we can find some place to take them. We've contacted over at least a half a dozen or more, shelters within a rail hallway as far as Austin, trying to find some place that will take these, puppies. And so far, no luck. That's a real life situation that I don't know what to do, and I don't really don't know what the county can do. But what, what would you do?
You don't know what I'd
do. I know.
Those of us that were brought up in the area will tell you pretty much about the same solution. And it's not politically correct in this day and time. But there's more than once where stray dogs show up your house and about 36 cents later, they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
And I know that that does not sit, or I'm assuming that it does not sit well with you, but that is a common practice for those that have grown up. And would you agree with that statement, Commissioner Taylor?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that statement, Commissioner Basham?
Yes. Just don't admit to it, because it's now, I believe, I believe it's elevated to a felony.
I'm not saying
cruelty to an animal. That you have to prove. No, you have to prove that it's
wrong.
Okay.
That
if they are chasing your livestock,
you have to prove that.
That's a pretty simple proof.
So now I say that, I'm not saying that, it's something that the court can look at addressing. I don't think that's a priority for this year, because if the county is going to take some action, it is going to be number one, hiring personnel, because you have to have somebody to go track them down.
I say interlocal agreement.
That's what I was going to say, Judge.
Yes, have an interlocal agreement, set some cash aside, and I mean, when they can, you got to work with it. I don't see building a dam by any means.
But that's what I'm saying is
open to an interlocal agreement.
I think both of them are. I visited with the city manager
because they just don't. They just built up like a four was.
4.8 million.
No facility. I mean, it may be some talk.
But down the road, people have called them, and that's what they tell them. You live in the county.
Yeah. And it's something that we definitely need to look at. I agree with the same commissioner. Absolutely. Because I get the same calls.
Yeah.
And I don't have a solution enough. But to me, for money wise, is to look at doing an interlocal agreement, because it's going to cost too dang much money for us to hire somebody and build a facility, in my opinion.
The bad thing about interlocal agreement is that when you're out in county, you call, they're always full.
Well, that's true.
So it sounds like it's something y'all want to address. All right. So give me a dollar amount.
I don't know what that would even be. I mean, I know it's a problem, but I don't have a scenario or a solution at this point. In my opinion, what that would, it's all that would even be.
Well,
it's going to become a bigger problem with all these subdivisions.
Absolutely.
Right.
And my fear is that they'll say, yes, we'll take them, but they're not going to send their animal control people out in the county to get them.
Most individuals will capture those animals and take them to them. The ones that want to. The ranchers and farmers will take care of their own business, but there's a whole bunch of other people that would be more than willing to capture those and take them to them if you had a place.
So what's the number?
I'd probably start with 20.
Yeah, 25. I mean, if we're arguing over 200,000 in a miscellaneous column.
We just cut 100,000 out of it.
Well, then you.
No, I'm just saying.
No, I'm asking.
I don't know what the number. I mean, I would be fine with 20. I
2025, somewhere in there, we got to have a starting point. That may not be enough, but it is a problem.
It is an issue.
And it may fail. When I say fail, this year, we may stumble very hard trying to figure it out. But I do know that it is certainly on many of the citizens' minds. I mean, I get...
Mr. Wood, under wild animal control, where we got, you know, trapper and hogs.
Yes, sir.
Let's put 20 there. Does that make sense to you?
Bring that total to 61,400.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right.
Anybody want to know?
No. We are a lot of dollars away from having even a double digit reserve. What, if any, do you want to cut?
Well, we did some at 90,000 in vehicles, and you know, there were certainly some cuts. So the question would be, Judge, what is the preferred reserve? I mean, what would be the target number for a reserve?
Because
you can work equations either way.
Okay, so...
Is it the answer and work backwards, or you can work forward and try to get to the answer?
The book answer is 25% on reserve. I don't fully believe in that, because under M&O, there are certain things that are one-time expenses, and then there's, you know, payroll and utilities, which you have to provide year-round. So not all of our expenditures come at the same time. But given that, when we get below 20% as a number, hair starts to stand up on the back of my neck. When we get below 17.5%, I'm not comfortable with that. And again, without factoring in the cuts that we have made, the general fund would be at 5.9% based off of our current tax rate.
Okay.
Now,
so do we know what that dollar value, what dollar are we chasing? You know, so what's, if we're at 5.9 and we want to get to 17.5, how many dollars would we have to find to do that? And I'm going to make Commissioner Basher cringe here. This was all based on a rate of exactly what we had last year.
Yes.
Right. So it should be a twofold question. What dollars would we have to find to get to that magic number? Or what increase would we have to do to get to that magic number? And or... a combination of both. It can't work one way, right? If we add new sources, new resources, new money to the budget, you have to increase the tax rate. The only way to maintain the tax rate or to lower the tax rate, right? Cuts or do a zero balance budget, which says, boom, no changes this year. It's going to be exactly like last year's. None whatsoever, period.
We can cut the IT budget. But it will put managed IT services being questionable depending upon what contracts we get in. Because I can cut 150 out of that, I mean, that quick.
Again, I repose the question without going through and what is that? Either what's the dollar?
You need about $6.5 million in your reserve to have 25% reserve.
Okay.
That's fine.
And I find the other. I see the ending balance funds, the 12.262 reserve. Where's the other number?
I'm
missing it. One that's the 5 point.
It should be on the same sheet that has other supported services on it.
Ah.
Down the next section in the general fund.
Ah, the general. There we go.
And I'll tell you, the number to me is not quite that easy because the more you reduce your expenditures, then the less you have to have as a reserve. So right now, just the basic math of it is, you know, if you took our total expenditures of $25.6 million and said, what's 25% of that? I'm pretty sure you're going to come up with a number that's very close to $6.5 million, what Mr. Wood said. But as you cut, you are reducing the amount that you need for the reserve. And I'm not a mathematical wizard. I know there's some form there that you could come up with, but that's way above Miller's level of math.
I think I was given the time, I could come pretty close, but I think I said that sometimes courts. Prior, but I've been part of it. I'll call it approaching a situation that's backwards. We want to load it all up and then start, you know, living through and doing all this as opposed to getting a number in our head to say that is our goal. If I wanted to increase my sales, I'd say, what do I want to increase it? I want to increase it by 20%. And then I'd say, okay, how am I going to get there? What we do is we throw a number out there and say, oh, now we got to work backwards. So, you know, and you can sit here and, I mean, so we did not increase the IT budget as much as, and I go back to the miscellaneous. We went from 5,000 to 200. Now we're at 100, but we just moved 100 over. I'd rather see that in the IT budget than to budget on something on what might happen, which is what we know as a highly likelihood of happening. I mean, I get it. It's an insurance policy. I'm not a big insurance guy.
I don't know if I would just up to 100,000. That's down to 100,000. You can take 100,000 out. But I thought they were going to go with that.
No, it's leaving 100,000 in miscellaneous and moving 100,000 to capital improvements.
That's not what I would. I was going to cut
our bill. Anyway, yeah, Eddie, you accept the rate this from last year? It's a tax increase.
It is.
So, you know.
Well, it's a tax increase over the new revenue rate.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the items, areas that, yes, I think that we are open for discussion to cut is what was programmed in for IT. Well, okay, to back up. All right. So to your point, Commissioner Weddle, last year we had $23,547,100 as our expenditures for Fund 10. This year, with the papers that I gave you this morning, that number is now $25,614,230.
That's good.
So if you said
2 million,
if you said, what do we do to keep the expenditures the same? Is we're looking that we need to cut $2 million.
The way these things increase is it's the old death by a thousand cuts. In this case, it's death by a thousand additions. You know, hard to.
So where do you, I mean.
So you said you thought you could cut 150,000 in IT?
Yes. Now, I don't know that we can afford a managed IT contract, but can we get through another year of what we've been doing?
We have some contingencies, if you will, built throughout the budget. Mm-hmm. When I say contingency, you know, taking a guess, well, I think that could happen.
If you're not, if y'all aren't opposed, I'd like to float an idea by y'all. Is yes, we're here with some things we had programmed in, some adjustments from that we made from last week, and this is kind of your first time to look at it. And I think we had a good run through Fund 10. I think there was some good discussion. I had anticipated taking a break for lunch, and I think this might be a good time. You can look at some numbers. Identify, you know, what are your priorities to, you know, to reduce that amount? Because really the kind of the number that you're looking at is about $2 million.
If I'm taking lunch, I just warn y'all that you need to guard that paperwork. It's got people's info on there that I need to just be laying around.
Yeah, good.
So let's do that and come back and address general fund, address road and bridge. And if you'll notice the other sheets, I did not print out the entire budget because a lot of those funds, like the law library fund, there's no change yet. I mean, it's not So I didn't burn trees on some of the lesser ones, or something. You'll see that there is capital improvement. You'll see that there is the firefighters fund. Those various ones, you can take a look at those. But I think if we back away just a minute, you know, for lunch break, Lord, clear your heads a little bit. I'm going to clear mine, and we can come back and see where we can get. Okay. Is that okay? Let's recess.
We make it an extended recess.
What time are you good with? 1:15, 1:30?
1:30.
1:30? Okay. I appreciate everybody's participation. We're going to recess until 1:30.